Now, we've been studying on Wednesday nights the harmony of the Gospels, and we've been looking at the idea of how people can see the same thing and have just a slightly different interpretation or a slightly different bent on what they see. Several people this morning have jokingly said that people hear that Cookie is gone and the place is packed. I choose to look at it as several people have heard that Cookie is preaching, so they decided to come hear him and they didn't get the message that it wasn't him preaching here, it was somewhere else. He writes my paycheck. But it is true that we can often look at different things and see them differently. Just as a couple of quick points of reference before we get started this morning, especially for our visitors, we have been endeavoring to study in a series that I have entitled Beware Their Influence, and then I use the term loosely, so please don't take offense and I'll explain to it, but I use the term women to look out for. I see some smiles from our visitors already. Now, the reason that I termed it that way is because if you look at and you listen to some of the little ones here, you'll hear them when they address some of the women of the congregation, they'll say Miss Shirley or Miss Christian or Miss and whatever their name is. And that got me to thinking about that's how they kind of remember things. And my goal as a gospel preacher is for you when you leave these walls to have something that you remember that you can take with you. If I get all done and I see you 2 or 3 hours or even a week from now and I ask you what you remember about the lesson and you can't remember anything, then I've failed as a preacher. There should be at least one thing that you can think of. And so I took this idea of miss and I've used it to create this concept of beware of their influence. And we've looked at things like misconduct or mistreatment or various other things. Everybody's been asking me, when are you going to talk about misapplication? Obviously, that's one that everybody knows. I will tell you right now that I gave you a very, very explicit example of misapplication in one of the lessons that I did, to the point of one of the brethren came to me and said, we're glad you warned us ahead of time that you didn't believe and that you were truly misapplying because I've escorted you out of the building. But we had a very good example of what misapplication was. Today, we're going to look at mischievous or mischief and her influences or what one might do to influence you to act in a mischievous manner. This is a tough one for me. And my wife and I were talking about that this morning. I am a person that I have to be very careful. And this is a good warning to all of us, especially the young people, because I think the young people deal with it a little bit more. But I have a tendency I like to sometimes be ornery and sometimes be a little bit mischievous. And it got me to thinking about, is that always a good thing? Is it always a good thing when we get into the mode of practical jokes, things like that? What are we really doing? And my wife constantly reminds me, she says, I hate practical jokes. And she doesn't like them because somebody is being harmed. And we'll look at that in just a little bit. But she doesn't like it because somebody's being hurt. This evening, if you're able to make it back, we're going to look at the concept of everybody's phrase, I was just kidding. And how that people try to justify what they've done and their actions simply by saying, nah, but I was just kidding. And think that that makes everything okay. We're going to address that this evening and really see if that makes everything okay. And we've been saying that as we go through these things, we've been looking at, the Word of God tells us that by your fruits you will know them, in describing people. Today, I want to question, what would mischievous or mischief fruits or influence look like, and what might this person want you to do? Because that's what we're talking about. Beware of their influence. Don't let them drag you into doing the same things that they might do. And so the first thing that we find is it can be conduct or activity that playfully or maliciously causes annoyance. I think it's interesting. We all understand the idea of with maliciousness and to be mean and to try to make somebody upset. But what about the people that are doing it playfully?
And they say, well, but I was just kidding.
Something to ask ourselves. Why do you want to annoy that person? Is that really in line with what we're taught in Scripture that says, do good unto all men, and then especially those of the household of faith? But is intentionally going out of your way, even jokingly or playfully, and trying to annoy them, really treating them the way that they ought to be treated? I want to look at an example in 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter. And I think it's something that if we just simply read through this account of David and Goliath, we miss a point. And it was something that when I did a lesson on David and Goliath, I noticed it for the first time after years. And it wasn't that long ago that I presented a lesson on that somewhere else. And this jumped out at me. But let's look at 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter, verses 8 through 16. Real quickly, one other point of note that I wanted to make. There are copies of slides in the back for any of the lessons that I do. If any of you would like to take one of those and see exactly what you're seeing here, you can take the outline with you, because there'll be several scriptures that will be up here for you to either write down or take with you. We're not going to go through every one of them, but that doesn't mean that they aren't valuable, and it doesn't mean that you shouldn't be doing some work on your own. And so I'm going to leave you with some scriptures that you can take with you as well. Getting back to 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 8. And we know we've just gotten the description of what Goliath looked like and how he was so different and so large in comparison to everyone else. And beginning at verse 8, it says, "Then he stood and cried out to the armies of Israel and said to them, 'Why have you come out to line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine and you the servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. And if he's able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us.' And the Philistine said, 'I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together.'" Verse 11, "When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Now David was the son that Ephraim of Bethlehem of Judah, whose name was Jesse, and who had 8 sons. And the man was old, advanced in years in the days of Saul. And the 3 oldest sons of Jesse had gone to follow Saul to the battle. And the names of his 3 sons who went to battle were Eliab the firstborn, next to him Abinadab, and the 3rd Shammah. David was the youngest, and the 3 oldest followed Saul. But David occasionally went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And the Philistine drew near and presented himself 40 days, morning and evening." You know, a lot of times when we read through this, I think we miss that Goliath continually came out and continually annoyed the Israelites, continually pestered them to send someone out. Think about that. More than a month solid, he would come out and he would say things to annoy and to anger God's people. That's an example of what malicious annoyance can look like. It's going out of your way to really bother someone, knowing that they're going to be upset. Now, there's a commercial on TV for a program that I would not ever endorse, but there is a commercial that I think gives a great example. And it's an example of a little baby, and he comes in, and his mother's sitting on a bed, and she's reading the paper, and he comes in, and he's, "Mom, Mom, Mama, Mommy, Mama, Mother, Mommy, Mommy." Finally, she's so annoyed and aggravated, she says, "What?" And he says, "Hi." And then he runs off. That's annoyance, isn't it? That's annoyance. What about the little kid that you give them an answer, and they say, "Why?" And then you explain why. I say, "Well, why? But why?" And they're smiling and they're laughing because they think it's funny. They're being playful. But what's mom and dad getting at this point? They're getting annoyed. "I've told you 2 or 3 times that this is the way it is." And why are they asking? It's not because they didn't hear you the first time. It's because they got a reaction out of you. It's like when someone says, and I'm guilty of this, my wife will yell something across the room and I'll say, "What?" She'll repeat herself and I'll say, "What?" She'll repeat herself and I'll say, "What?" Until finally she realizes, I've heard everything that she has to say, but I'm giving her a hard time. I've got to ask myself, is that really something that I need to be doing? Yes, it's meant to be playful, but when we talk about the idea of sinful things, we're taught to flee as far from sinful activity as we can. What's the saying in society today? If it looks like a duck, if it walks like a duck, if it talks like a duck, it's a duck. If you look like you're sinning and you walk like you're sinning and you talk like you're sinning. So we need to be very careful. And it's hard for me. Because growing up, I was ornery. Growing up, I was a tough kid. And I did a lot of things that I shouldn't have done. And I don't say that in front of you to brag. I say that because I had a lot to learn. Because I was that mischievous person. I was that one that would look for the kid to pick on. You know, my son came home from a bus ride the other day. I'll give you an example of mischief. Came home, the bus had broken down, and he was an hour late. And he was really frustrated having to sit for an hour and actually having to get off and ride a different bus home. But what really bothered him was someone was sitting in a seat behind him, and they just kept kicking the seat. And they just kept kicking the seat, and kicking the seat, and kicking the seat. Why were they doing that? They wanted to annoy him, didn't they? They wanted to get under his skin. They wanted to bother him. And we talked a little bit about how we can react to those things. But the point is it's doing something, whether you're being playful or whether you're being malicious, that causes people to be annoyed. It's a tendency or disposition to tease, to vex, or annoy. Do you have a habit of teasing other people? Guilty. Guilty. And then say, but I was just kidding. But ask yourself, what's the message that you're sending to that person, and what's the message that you're sending to the world when you're doing those things? Do people understand that mischief is also looked at as hurt, harm, or trouble? Do you really want to hurt someone else? Do you really want to harm them? You probably don't if you're doing it playfully, but you are harming them. What do they say? People believe there's just a small hint of truth in every statement that you make. Even when you say, I was just kidding. I don't want to get too much into that because I don't want to ruin tonight's sermon. But the idea is that you can be hurtful or harmful to others, and that's not what we're to be. Or there's the idea of injury or evil. And it's interesting, in doing this lesson and looking at the various sources, I generally read from, read from the New King James. I had to switch to the King James Version for my scriptures this morning because the King James Version is the one that uses the word that I'm using, and that's the word mischief. But most of the other translations are going to use terms like hurt, are going to use terms like injury, are going to use terms like evil. Okay? Mischief almost makes it sound playful, doesn't it? We almost have that kind of playful idea. Yeah, my child's got that mischievous grin on his face, and it's playful. Translators today have changed that to help us recognize that what we're really talking about isn't playful. It's injurious, it's harmful, and it can be evil and wicked. So what is the Bible? Oh, and lastly, a source of trouble or difficulty. We know what Scripture teaches about causing a brother to stumble, don't we? And not being a source. That's a source of trouble or difficulty, is if we cause them to stumble. But, you know, maybe I know a person has a problem with anger. So I'm going to go out of my way to make them mad, right? Is that what we're supposed to do? To help them to stumble? But I was just being mischievous. I was just playing with you. I just wanted to see if I could make you mad. There are going to be people in this world today that are going to want you to get involved in that. They're going to want you to join in the mistreatment of others. How are you going to react? That's what we're talking about. Can you recognize what their actions are? And then, what are you going to do in regard to that influence? Well, what are some generic things that we can say the Bible has to say about mischievous? I will read these all in particular. Again, you can write these down. You can get them off of the slide. Psalm 28 and verse 3 says, draw me not away with the wicked and with the workers of iniquity, which speak peace to their neighbors, but mischief is in their hearts. Look at the category that you're being drawn away with here, saying not to draw me away with. The wicked, the workers of iniquity. Don't bring me along with those people that pretend to speak good things, but inwardly there's mischief. They're looking to stir up calamity. They're looking to stir up trouble. It's not a positive thing. And I want you, as you go through and as you read in your translation along with me what the verses say, note when I say mischief and look at the word that your translation uses to get another idea of what we're talking about. Proverbs 10:23 says, "It is as sport to a fool to do mischief, but a man of understanding hath wisdom." I simply, anytime I read something like that, ask yourself the question, do I want to be a fool? If I'm a fool, it's a sport. It's fun. Isn't he saying that the foolish person enjoys mischief? Okay? But the wise likes understanding. So, do I want to be foolish and do I want to be involved in a mischievous activity? Or do I want to be a person with understanding? Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 8. "He that deviseth to do evil shall be called a mischievous person." So what, someone that does mischief intentionally? He's someone that devises evil. He's looking to harm, whether we realize it or not. Whether we want to say again, "I was joking, I was kidding." No. The goal is, I want to do harm. Again, not my words. It doesn't matter what Rob thinks. It's not my words. That's the word of God that tells you that. And it matters what he says. Isaiah 59 verses 1 through 4. "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, your tongue has muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies." What does your reference say here? "They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity." And what has all this done? What has being involved in this mischief done, according to this verse? Cuts you off from God, right? Do you want to be cut off from God because you were just kidding? Because you were just playing? It's serious. And it's difficult for me to talk about these things because it is fun to have a good time and to laugh and to joke with our friends. What we need to talk about, though, is just like there's right and wrong ways to do things, is there a proper way to joke with people that maybe doesn't involve some of the mischievous attitude? It's something to think about, isn't it? You need to study this stuff out and ask yourself these questions. This morning I'm going to look at a few examples from Psalms and I'm going to ask you to take down several examples. This evening, as I mentioned, we're going to look at the idea of just kidding. We're also going to look at a few examples from Proverbs. Again, as I said, I'm not going to read all of these. I want you to have some work to do on your own. I will read a few of these just so that we have some background in what we're talking about. What I'd like to go ahead and do, let's start with Psalm chapter 10, and I'll look at verse 2, jump to verse 7, and then verse 14. Again, that's Psalm the 10th, verse 2, verse 7, and then verse 14. "The wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor. Let them be taken in the devices that they have imagined." Verse 7, "His mouth is full of cursing and deceit and fraud. Under his tongue is mischief," what does your text say, "and vanity." And in verse 14, "Thou hast seen it, for thou beholdest mischief and spite, to requite it with thy hand. The poor committed himself unto thee, thou art the helper of the fatherless." And we look at these things and the wickedness that's done and what we're learning, and we learn this from Psalm the 7th chapter, verses 4 through 16. We learn that he who does mischief, the same will be upon him. Now I want you to ask yourself a question. As you're sitting there, kicking the back of somebody's chair on a bus to make them angry, do you want the person behind you sitting there kicking the back of your chair? Do you want them returning your evil for evil? Is that really what you want? It's not, is it? What's the teaching in Scripture? "Therefore, whatever you want a man to do to you, do you also unto him." Right? So, do you want that to happen? But we're taught that those who create mischief, strife, harm, evil, the same will come upon them. It may not happen in the time that we'd like it to. But ultimately, if at no other time than the day of judgment, when they answer for their actions and they're harmed and they're not part of the saved that we were singing about to get to heaven, they're part of the other that end up getting an eternity of punishment. They'll get their reward. Do you want that same type of reward for yourself? Let's jump to Psalm, the 52nd chapter, and let's read Psalm 52. Again, I encourage you, write down these other verses, take the slide, whatever you need to do, and study these things out on your own. Because there's a lot to think about, there's a lot to be said, and I really think the idea of mischief is another one of those areas that we don't take serious enough. Sin is sin. And I think sometimes we categorize things in our own mind as, this just isn't as bad. Okay? Said, maybe I'm guilty of it. I know I was guilty of it before I fully understood and I was buried in the waters of baptism. But we need to understand, and we need to study, and we need to recognize, and we need to take this idea of being mischievous and understand that it is sinful activity. It is something that we should not be involved in, and we need to recognize that. Psalm 52, beginning at verse 1. Why boastest thou in thyself, or thyself in mischief? Why do you brag about it? Right? Why be proud? Ha, look at me, I made him cry. Ha, look at me, I'm kicking the back of his seat and he's miserable. Why do you boast about it? Why do you boast about the bad things that you do to other people? Is that what we're supposed to boast in and be happy in? Is that what's going to bring glory and honor to God the Father, which is who we're supposed to glorify? And who people think of or should think of when they look at us? When they look at us and they see us kicking the back of a chair. When they see us saying mean things to someone else, making somebody feel bad. Even if we say we were just kidding, when they see that, do they see God? No. Who are they supposed to see when they look at us? They're supposed to see God. So why boastest thou thyself in mischief, O mighty man? The goodness of God endures continually. The tongue deviseth mischief, like a sharp razor working deceitfully. Thou lovest evil more than good, and lying rather than to speak righteousness. Thou lovest all devouring words, O thou deceitful tongue. God shall likewise destroy thee forever. He shall take thee away, and pluck thee out of thy dwelling place, and root thee out of the land of the living. Are you hearing the negative? Are you hearing the penalty? Are we glossing over Scripture when we read it? Or are we getting the emphasis that the writer wants us to have? We need to ask ourselves that on a regular basis. Because if you just skim through and you read it and you retain nothing, how valuable is it to you? Think about it. You study for a test and say, yep, I read all 5 chapters. I read them last night. 2 hours before I went to bed, I read through everything. Man, I was so proud of myself. I got through 5 chapters in 25 minutes. The fastest I've ever read. Then you sit down and you take the test and you can't remember a single thing you read because you didn't pay attention to what you're reading. And what happens? You fail the test. Our life here on earth is a test of how we're going to live. It's a test to see whether we get the A and we get to heaven or we fail and we get to hell. Do we want to be the one that says, yeah, I set a record in the time I studied? I'm so proud of myself. I read 6 chapters of Scripture last night. Oh, really? What'd you learn? Well, I don't remember. But I read it. I know it was pretty good. I know it said something about God saying you shouldn't do this. Is that really beneficial? Not when you stop and think about it. Verse 6. The righteous also shall see and fear and shall laugh at him. Lo, this is the man that made not God his strength, but trusted in the abundance of his riches, and strengthened himself in his wickedness. But I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. I will praise thee forever because thou hast done it, and I will wait on thy name, for it is good before thy saints. I'm not going to be like everybody else. I'm not going to be like the one that doesn't put his trust and his time and his energy and his efforts into knowing about God. That's what I want to do. I want to put all my time, energy, and effort into knowing about God and not into every other thing that I can do. Really, if you stop and think about it, what have you gained when you've hurt somebody's feelings? What did you really, really benefit? The best that can happen is you got them to cry. Right? If you're successful, and if you're looking for the reward of the fruits of your efforts, if your reward is, I got somebody to cry, I made somebody feel real bad. Really? What did that do for you? Don't we want to work toward fruits that are going to be beneficial for us? Don't we want to do the things that are going to make for good for us? It really doesn't make sense when we stop and think about it. But notice what I said. It doesn't make sense when we stop and think about it. Where it becomes a problem is when we don't stop and think. Young people, where it becomes a problem is where three of your friends come up and say, hey, you know what? I really don't like the shoes that kid's wearing today. Let's go make fun of them. And you just join right in. Why? Because you didn't stop and think about what they were doing, and because everybody else is doing it. I'm going to tell you something right now. When you look at something and you see everybody else is doing it, that should be a sign to slow down and stop and see, wait, maybe I shouldn't. Seems strange, doesn't it? We all want to do what everybody else is doing. People are kind of like sheep. I mean, let's be honest. You drive by and you hear of a restaurant, you're looking for a restaurant, and you drive by, and I'm like this. I drive by and I see no cars in the parking lot. I'm not going there because no one else goes there, right? There must be a reason. Or have you ever seen it where there's these times when you walk through the mall and a store is completely empty? Nobody's going in there. And then all of a sudden, you look and three people walk in, and 5 minutes later, the store is packed. Why is that? Because it must be good because there's a lot of people there. Or the greatest, have you ever stood in a long line and you look like two lines over, whether it be to purchase a movie ticket or to check out at the grocery store or something like that, and you look and there's a line of like 20 or 25 people. That's what everybody's doing. And you look over and there's one with only like three or four. And you know in your mind, I'd rather wait on three or four people than 25, but you think, but everybody else is over here. So this is where I'm going to go. And there was nothing wrong with what was going on over here. You just followed after the crowd. And guess what? It cost you something, didn't it? Following after the crowd cost you something. It cost you standing in line longer than you needed to. But following the crowd into sinful activity, into mischief, into picking on others, cost you a whole lot more if you choose to follow the crowd. Be the person, like the person that's willing to step out of the line that everybody else is in and get out ahead of everybody. And what do they get? They get a reward because they get some time back. They get the reward of not having to wait as long. You be the one that steps out and says, I'll step out of this line. I won't pick on this guy. And what reward do you get? You get a reward from your Father in heaven for doing what was right. But human mindset is follow the crowd. If everybody else is doing it, it must be a good idea. A Christian should say, if everybody else is doing it, I better double check. Right? It's just a good rule to live by. It's just a good rule to live by. Why? Because we have all kinds of warning in Scripture about how the few will be saved. Not the many, right? So if I'm in with a large crowd, and that's not to say that sometimes what a lot of people are doing isn't okay. But you've got to stop and you've got to see. And you've got to make sure and you've got to investigate. And if after investigation there's nothing wrong over here, by all means be involved. But if your investigation says, I really shouldn't be a part of doing this, don't do it. You know, I'm of a mind that if someone ever asks you the question, and some people think this is strange, but I am of a mind, it's a little off topic, but if someone said to me, do you think this dress or this pair of shorts is too short? You know what my answer is every time? It's yes, every time. Even if maybe If it were me, I wouldn't have a problem with it. But because it's bothering you, because you have to ask the question, is this not right? That tells you right there your concern. So let's not help people by saying, oh, no, that's fine, that's not a problem. If you're worried about it, don't do it. Right? It's really a simple rule to look by. And people think I'm strange. So you tell people, yeah, I say, yes, it's too short. But there's a reason it's too short. It's too short because it bothers you already. I might think it's too short too. I might not. It really depends. But the reality is, if it's causing you a problem, it's too short, isn't it? If I have to ask the question, if I'm really not sure. Let's jump ahead. You can mark down several different examples for time's sake. Let's just look at Psalm 94, verses 20 through 23. This is a great question. It's a redundant question, but it's a great question. Psalm 94, beginning at verse 20. Shall the throne of iniquity have fellowship with thee, which frameth mischief by a law? They gather themselves together against the soul of the righteous and condemn the innocent blood. But the Lord is my defense, and my God is the rock of my refuge, and he shall bring upon them their own iniquity and shall cut them off in their own wickedness. Yea, the Lord our God shall cut them off. Shall the throne of iniquity have fellowship with thee, which frameth, and mischief by law? When you create laws that allow for mischievous activity. When you justify doing things by making it lawful. How about things like when you say, the law says, you have to have a certain percentage of homosexuals if you're renting out apartments. The law says, if you're hiring people, you have to have a certain number of homosexuals on your staff. When we make law, violate God's law, what do you do? What do? You let them close you down if they have to. Right? But you don't do it. You don't violate God's law because somebody told you to do it. You don't violate God's law because your buddies are going to pick on you if you don't act mischievous with them. You know, I think that's something that kids worry about today. If you really stop and think about it. You know what? If I step out of the line that everybody's in, then I'm going to be the one that gets picked on. Then I'm going to be the one that they get involved in mischievous acts against. If I don't run along with you and do those things to hurt another person, at some point then they're going to hurt me. I think people are afraid of that. You know what? In their mind they're thinking, there's always going to be a target. I just don't want to be the target. So I'm going to do wrong so I don't get wronged. Is that what Scripture teaches? Or should we be there and be the support to that one that has their seat kicked and is getting annoyed? Should we sit and talk with them? Should we try to take their mind off of what's going on? So what's our conclusion this morning as we look at the idea of the influence to act mischievous or to get involved in mischief? I believe it's clear that when we consider their fruits and compare them to what the book of Psalms teaches in regards to these actions, we need to be careful not to allow ourselves to fall under that influence and become involved in sinful action. You notice I didn't say not become involved in the same action, did I? God hates sin, right? God listed seven things in our scripture reading that are an abomination to him. What was the last one that we read? Feet that are swift in running to mischief. That's an abomination. God hates it. And he hates it why? Because it's sinful. Right? Let's stop saying I was just kidding and start saying you were just sinning. That's scary, isn't it? It's scary. But it's something we need to investigate. And we need to ask ourselves. And if we can replace I was just kidding with I was just sinning, guess what? I got to stop. I got to ask for forgiveness, and I got to get it right. As I said this evening, we'll take a brief look at what the book of Proverbs has to teach us about the acts of mischievous or mischievous acts, and also we'll look at I was just kidding just a little bit. As we close out this morning, as you as a Christian consider the life that you've read, as you consider the actions that you've been involved in, as you consider the example that you set to the world, ask yourself, is this something that I may have a problem with? Is this something that I may need to get right? If it is, and you can handle it, get it fixed. If it's something that you know you need help with, I admit it. I have a hard time. Sometimes I have to be reminded. We all have our difficult things. I have to be reminded, stop being ornery. You can ask your brothers and sisters to pray with you and for you to help you overcome those things that are difficult to overcome. Or, if you've not yet become a member of the Lord's Church, if you've not yet been buried in the waters of baptism, and I want to go back to what you were talking about, Ernest, just a little bit. I don't, personally, I can't sing when we all get to heaven. Because I know there are members in this audience that aren't yet baptized. So not everybody here, when we get to heaven, if they're not baptized and they're old enough and they haven't reacted, it won't be a day of rejoicing for them. It won't be a rejoicing day. I have to sing when the saved. Because it is rejoicing for those of us that have been saved. But it's a misery and a condemnation for those that haven't. And I know we'll all have loved ones. We may all have loved ones that aren't going to get there, that aren't going to make it. And they're not going to be able to sing and shout the victory, are they? They're going to suffer. If you want to be able to sing with the saved, and you want that opportunity of a home in heaven, we invite you to make that known. Be buried in the waters of baptism as we stand and sing the selected song.